Hey there, Concordia. It's Danny Gold again for your community calendar for the week of September 23rd to the 29th, and it begins now. This week may be a little on the lighter side for events, but this weekend is sure packed full of them. First, come check out Concordia's largest annual fundraiser this Friday, September 27th, the Concordia Shuffle. For those who don't know what the Shuffle is, it's an annual 6.5-kilometer walk between the Sir George Williams campus and the Loyola campus, all in the name of charity. Make sure you go online and either register your team or yourself before Thursday if you want to participate. The walk will be starting from 12:30 p.m. and will be going on till 5:30 p.m., and it'll be starting in front of the Hall Building on the St. George Williams campus. Check out the Concordia Shuffle events page on Concordia's website for more info, and once again, that is 12:30 p.m. to 5:30 in front of the Hall Building on Friday. Once you're all tired out from walking for a good cause, why not spend this Saturday relaxing at Oka Beach and watch the Montreal Water Lantern Festival? Come and make your own lantern to send floating down the St. Lawrence River and partake in a wonderful Montreal tradition. From 4:30 to 9 p.m. this Saturday, the festival will be taking place featuring music, food trucks, and much, much more. Be sure to get your tickets online at the Montreal Water Lantern Festival page on Eventbrite. And once again, this will be taking place at Oka Beach from 4:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. this Saturday, the 28th. Last but not least, this week, Pop Montreal, the International Music Festival, will be back, right in the middle of Mile End at the Rialto Theater. The event's website describes the festival as an annual non-for-profit event championing the independence in the arts by presenting emerging and celebrated talents from around the world. Pop Montreal is the one North American festival that provides a dynamic introduction to the next generation of musical talent and independent art forms. The event will be taking place Wednesday through Sunday, so be sure to check the Facebook page for all the band schedules. Once again, the event will be taking place at the Theater Rialto, 5723 Avenue du Parc. Well, there you have it, folks. This has been your community calendar for the week of September 23rd through 29th with Danny Gold. And now back to your regular scheduled programming.
Is this thing on?
Join me, Allison, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Transistor Sister, where I play the songs that are stuck in my head so then they can get stuck in yours. The best in alternative punk, indie, with a sprinkling of pop, only on CJLO 6090 AM. Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, October 3rd at the Palais de Congrès de Montréal. Admission is free. The expo opens at 3 p.m., but come as early as 2 p.m. to catch the feature seminar. For more information, check out our website, www.studyandgoabroad.com.
All right, well, friends, this is maybe one of the most exciting moments in the 15-year history of the Go-Go Radio Magic Show, and we're so happy that you stuck around or you're tuning in now, but it is our great pleasure that we introduce Montreal legends, the High Dials, to the Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
Hey, hey. All right, so you guys, take it away.
I don't like your arms. No.
just might blow it in. Look at the figures, examine the facts. Look at the way that the odds are stacked. I don't see a lot in the cards you've got.
Shoulder, I could make my call right here
right. How's everybody doing? I can't tell. I can't hear a thing. We're the High Dials, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us, guys. It's a lot of fun. This is called The Jaws of Life. I'm caught in a squeeze. I could use some expertise and or some resuscitation. Teach me, extend an arm and reach me. Lecture and speech me. Put some words of wisdom together. I don't expect to say my name unless someone arrives to pull me out of this wreck. Dawn of creation. Pain follows pleasure in the game. I should get up again. Test myself off like Frank Sinatra. I don't expect to say my name unless someone arrives to pull me out of this wreck alive. Tight rope to please them all, but they secretly hoped I'd fall. Next I was offered a lifetime sentence of bringing home bread for my descendants. I did my time pulling on their plow and making the sacred cow. But I never really learned the trade. I never learned to use a tool. Instructions for making lemonade when life gives you hand grenades. I get by with distractions, honey. Lord knows you look distracted too. So next time I need a little distraction, honey, I come looking. Hit the world upon my back. this place has never really felt quite right. I think I miss my connecting flight. Somewhere I've got friends waiting for me at arrivals on the bay. I get by with distractions on it. Oh no, you look distracted too. So next time I need a little distraction, honey, I'll come looking for you. I'll be looking for you. I'll be looking for you.
That's all we got.
All right. That was fantastic. And so I just want to say a big thank you to Simon, Charles, Max, Robbie, and Trevor for coming in and playing those four songs. And if you're tuned in at home and you love what you heard there, you can head on down to Let's Go Griff October 3rd and do it all over again. I'm just going to play a quick ad break so that we can let them transition and head over here, and we're going to chat with them a little bit more. But also, we would like to thank Zach, our production guy here at CJ Low, for setting this all up. So here you go. Here's a couple ads, and then we'll speak with High Dials in about a minute.
Dublin! There's something wrong with you.
Hey, this is the K-Man. Tune in to CJLO.com on Friday nights from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. for Beyond That Graveyard 3 and start your weekend the right way, always. You love it, you need it. Beyond That Graveyard Part 3 on CJLO.com.
Bellevue, that's it. I mean, sometimes you just ain't all there.
Check out Concordia Store's back-to-school deals.
Huge savings on all of your back-to-school essentials, supplies, tech accessories, and Concordia gear. Show your color with the Concordia crew at $24.99 or a $29.99 hoodie. Plus, save 25% on all backpacks. Concordia stores, find everything you need for school in stores or online at concordiastores.ca.
All right, we're back, and the band is just packing up their gear and going to be heading over here. So we're going to play one more track from Primitive Feelings Part 2 that we didn't hear in that little live set, but this is one that Ian has requested.
I had a funny moment while that was going on where I imagined listening in as a, you know, a listener at home, and someone might have been confused thinking that that was right off the album. It was so tight.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was really, really, really great. And like we said, Let's Go Griff, October 3rd.
It's an early show.
It's an early show, but head on down there. It's our favorite venue in the city, and you can hear more of that. So that's a great combination. But here you go. This is My Dream Addiction on the Go-Go Radio Magic Show. High Dials from their brand new second part of Primitive Feelings. There you go. That was My Dream Addiction from the High Dials from their latest offering, Primitive Feelings Part 2. And we are now joined in studio here by Trevor, the singer. And Trevor, can you explain? So what was the thinking behind releasing Primitive Feelings as two EPs over the course of the summer? Was there a
Three releases, really, because we put out the Foreverish EP last year, and those songs were supposed to also be on the album. We just had too much music because we took a break for like a good long while, 4 years. So there was a whole backlog of cool stuff. I just don't think that people really can manage a full album anymore. It's just the whole culture has changed so much. I mean, and I'm a part of it too. I have a hard time. I listen at home on vinyl to a full album, but digitally, we've all lost our attention span. So I thought it seemed better to just divide it into two to give each part its due.
And then now is, am I right in that this will come out as a full album on vinyl? Is that?
Yeah, like, so for the digital world, it's two releases, but for us, people that enjoy full albums still, I mean, it's on the, you can get the complete, it's like side A and B on a vinyl release, right, which is just called Primitive Feelings, which have just arrived in a bunch of boxes on Nuns Island. I haven't been over to pick them up yet, so it's kind of exciting.
I just wanted to know between the two, because the two halves or two sides definitely have two distinct, I feel, personalities. Were the songs conceived and recorded at the same time and then just split up as a matter to as a matter of putting them out?
I wish I could say I was like a super genius and I planned it all, but it's not the case. We argued a lot about the order, and like I said, we removed all the Foreverish songs, and then we all kind of agreed and settled on this one. We put, I guess I would say side A is a little bit more poppy and soul oriented, and side B is a little weirder and edgier, if that makes sense. I don't know if you agree, but
yeah, I found the first album, and I'm sure it's the same across both, but like I noticed the horns more, and there was like really lush orchestration. And on the second album, I was picking up more of a, I don't want to say shoegazy is not the right word, but that.
Yeah, we're definitely not a shoegaze band, so we're always hesitant to use that word, but it has been a big influence on the band. The guitar sounds have always had that element. We don't quite please anybody. We always have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and which personally I like. Yeah, I like that kind of thing, but it can be difficult when you're trying to describe the band or connect with a certain crowd, you know. But we do have a, but yeah, I wouldn't say you're wrong to say shoegaze. There's definitely an influence there from that.
It's not a word I would like normally throw around, but
I'm looking at my shoes right now.
Yeah, right. I was going to say there's a lot more energy in those recordings than like the term shoegaze might imply.
That's
but
true.
Yesterday when I was writing a little piece about it and I was listening to both albums, I had a hard time coming up with how do you describe this? There's just so many colors and sounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason that we got tagged with the word psychedelic was not it just because I think we were had so many, we had a kind of playful experimentalism right from the very beginning, and that, but it was more always coming from bands like the Beatles and the Kinks in particular. Those two bands, I felt like they always went all over the place. And another band that I loved in the 90s was Super Furry Animals. There were a few Britpop bands that were very fun. Blur is another one. So those were my bread and butter bands growing up that I loved. And that, you know, I don't see a lot of bands actually that are all over the place like as much as we are anymore. So it does make us stand out a little bit, I think. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, definitely not. And I also think if you look at the arc that your album over the last, you know, how long has it been now? Like 16
years.
Yeah. There is just this sort of flow that goes through where you don't hold yourself to any one sound. Mm-hmm. You allow yourself to go anywhere you want.
It makes sense to me. For me, I can see a body of work. I can see a thread running through it all. But sometimes there's going to be jarring moments if you were to skip 5 years and go from one album to the next. It might sound strange. But if you go chronologically, I can hear a natural evolution. And I kind of feel like we're coming back full circle a little bit. I'm getting back into the 60s grooves and mod R&B that was like a big part of the band in the beginning. We brought that back in a different way with a different kind of twist. And so I don't think we ever totally lost that. But we've had our folky moments. We've had our post-punk kind of things, and you know, it's a grab bag of, it's all good stuff though, right? I mean, you know, I think so. I'm my own biggest fan.
As far as the lyrical content on the albums too, because I was quite taken by some of the lines, and actually the last song you played has the line about lemonade and hand grenades. Was this do you write from the inside? Are you writing as a voice? Is it Trevor? Is it sort of a worldly observer?
I don't have like a formula or anything, but I do think I spent a lot more time on the lyrics on this record than I had previously. A lot more wordplay and different emotions. There's definitely different emotions on this record. Maybe it sounds weird to say anger, but there's a little bit of an edge to the lyrics too. It just comes with life experience. I used to be very wide-eyed and kind of with my lyrics much more. It's not that I'm not still romantic. I am very romantic, but I've, you know, lived a bit of life at this point, and I have a different perspective on things, and I'm interested in maybe other things that I wasn't as interested in when I was younger. And I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, I did. Thank you for noticing. We printed them up on the vinyl, so again, I don't know if people pay attention to lyrics, but hopefully they will.
I think we're at a time where we need to more than we used to in the past. I'm not saying every song has to have a message necessarily, but I think if we can pick up the physical object and actually look at it and read it as opposed to the glowing screen on our
phone.
Definitely.
I mean,
we were talking about an album cover today that I've only seen digitally, and it's made up of hundreds of little images that I will never see through my phone.
Yeah, we've definitely lost a lot of the pleasure of music. It's kind of a catastrophe the way everything just fell apart so quickly. I still don't really understand how that happened so fast. I guess a digital revolution basically was too much for us all to process. And some creative things have managed better. Music, it's not that music's not thriving. It is thriving, actually. Maybe for the listener, it's maybe
I think
great.
I listen to more.
Yeah. But the experience of the music now, I think we lost a lot. And you might be surprised to learn that I actually only got into vinyl quite recently in reaction to, I kind of hated the junk food feel of the way I was consuming music, and not really, now I'm enjoying, you know, a much more kind of personal, tangible experience with the records.
Are you someone that always has music playing at home or in your headphones?
Yeah, that's constant. I'm a total music addict. There's no question.
Now, we're lucky because you did bring in some music to DJ or share with the audience.
Yeah.
It's going to be this line here.
Sure.
Is there something you want to start off with? Maybe set up for the folks at home?
Not particularly. We could just start with they're all great. And all of us in the band are DJs. And so any one of the band members could have made a great playlist. I just kind of thought I'd grab a snapshot of the stuff that influenced me as a songwriter during the process. I think if we have time and we have a few of them, you'll hear maybe some of that. So I picked Stereolab because they're coming to Montreal pretty soon, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think that...
This is a classic. It's not a deep cut. It's a classic. Shall I press play here?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Go-Go Radio Magic Show right here at CJLO 1690 AM. And I hope you're not just tuning in, folks, because we've had a killer show. Right now we've got Trevor and Robbie from the High Dials in studio. And we should just quickly recap that track we just heard was Stereolab with a little track called Metronomic Underground. And that was handpicked by Trevor. And you were mentioning the music that you brought in to share with us tonight, which unfortunately we won't get to hear all of it, but some of the stuff that helped go into your inspiration for the new material. Do you go through periods prior to writing or recording where you listen to lots of music, or do you not listen to any music? I know sometimes people have...
That's a good question. I mean, when I started writing the songs for this record, I didn't have a direction in mind. I definitely wasn't thinking about anything. I just started playing with loops, which is why this is a good example, this kind of song, because that's kind of the approach. It was like a lot of drum loops and then cutting and pasting things. It's very studio, you know, and then bringing in other guys after that, you know. But then as it kind of... got momentum, then it started to take shape for me that, oh, there's a sound that I'm feeling here. And then I started at that point connecting dots between different things. And so again, it's like, for me, it kind of makes sense. There's something that holds it all together stylistically.
So you would like work out the loops and the idea and the direction you're going, and then you would hook up with the rest of the band. And
well, I just was, I'm a guitarist, right? And for years I've written songs on guitar, and I just, things will grow stale after a certain point, and I just was enjoying, I bought a Hofner bass, and I was just really loving playing that. So I just, at home, was just kind of writing on the bass, so that was an unusual thing. And so then I started showing the demos to the guys, and then they were very enthused, and then so started bringing them into the process. And it's like a hodgepodge of like live, there's very live stuff there, and then it's just very playful in the approach, in that there were no rules, and that's always been a little bit a part of High Dials Records, this was probably the most so of that way, you know.
And now, Robbie, when did you start playing with Trevor? Like, how long have you been?
16 years ago, is it? Or about that, I guess.
Okay, so you two are the elder statesmen of the
Robbie's a founding, he's the last one standing.
I joined the Datsuns in the sort of final days of the Datsuns before we switched our name for a hot minute to the Datsun 4 to avoid confusion with that band from... New Zealand that was blowing up at the time, and then we decided let's just, I had joined and the sound was changing, so we became the High Dials with a little help from little Steven.
Right. Now what's performance at Au 33 Tours has been postponed,
yes,
right, to a later date.
It got hijacked by Harmonium.
Right.
Bastards.
But did they not see this as a great opportunity to collaborate?
They have a grudge against us, man. It's just, there's no point hiding it anymore. We have a little bit of a beef with them, and I think they feel the same. And I guess it's just got a little ugly, you know. But if they're listening, we're not finished. You know, we're going to have the last laugh. No.
There will be a Twitter war.
Yeah.
I think that's what people do
now.
And then Let's Go Griff on October 3rd.
That's still on, yeah. That's going to be great. We're going to have oysters, champagne. It's free. We're going to DJ. First, we're going to play the record first. We're going to DJ a bit after. It should be a grand old time. So a year from now.
It's a week.
A week from now, actually.
Week yesterday, no?
Yeah,
is it
a week
Thursday?
Yesterday. Next Thursday, October 3rd.
So, folks, there's nothing better than a Sanka set on a Thursday, but one with rock and roll, oysters, and did you say champagne?
Champagne.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other place I think anyone needs to be next Thursday.
Yeah.
In preparing for the release with your live shows, are you gravitating towards certain new songs? Are there... some that are proving to be challenges live, let's say?
I thought it was going to be really difficult, and I'm pretty perfectionist, and but I'm amazed at how the band has managed, and I love how the songs have totally taken on a new life, and particularly those songs that we just played, they've really gone in a new direction, and it's great. You know, I mean, we use a little bit of electronic help. You know, we have a SPDX drum machine that we incorporate and things like that, but... yeah, it's we just pretty much tried them all, and you know, some of them are more difficult than others, but I think it's been really fun, surprisingly smooth playing them live.
Well, they sound great live, and it sounds like an album that deserves to be heard live. So hopefully down the road there's more opportunities for people to come out and see you. That would be fantastic.
I hope so, yeah. We don't play too often, unfortunately, but you know, it's all about the quality, not the quantity. So I'm sure, you know, this may, I'm not sure if this will be the last show of the year. There may be another one coming up, hopefully.
How about we slip in one more curated track?
Where should we go? Like, oh, here, I'll play one other thing to mention, which may seem kind of strange, but I listen to a lot of Latin music, actually, because I've been spending a lot of time down there. My wife is from Colombia. She kind of introduced me to the music traditions down there. I'm actually not. Oh, I'll play that. So in a weird way, that kind of influenced the record, even though there's not really any proper cumbia or anything like that on there. It was an influence. So why don't we just play something in that style?
Sweet.
Because I'm really into that stuff. So this is Sonido Amazónico, Los Mirlos. It's a classic.
Awesome. All right.
Dead air, guys.
Yeah, no, bad, bad. That's expensive. All right, another track, Los Mirlos.
Los Mirlos.
Which you were saying translates to the sparrows.
That's a style of music called cumbia that's huge all over Latin America. And then, you know, that's obviously a very old track, a 60s track, but it goes right back to the 20s and 30s. There's all kinds of variations on it. That's a strange kind of psychedelic version from Peru. But then there's big orchestral versions, and then now, of course, there's all kinds of electronic versions, and I love it. I love Latin music. And, yeah, I love music from all over the world.
Now, we've already discussed that there's a lot of different influences and sounds that go into the high dials from album to album, from song to song. Do you guys all sort of share the same likes and dislikes? Is there ever a
a band moment where Robbie someone is not on board?
No, we have very similar tastes by and large. I remember one time getting into a fight with Max, who's joining us here. He's not on mic right now, but over. I won't get into it. But yeah, we occasionally disagree.
We do have our disagreements, and they can get quite intense, actually. There's certain, you know, taboos, right? You can't not like the Beatles in our band. I'm sure that secretly some people in this band don't like the Beatles that much, but they would never dare to say so.
Right, and you can still trust them.
I don't trust anybody.
and as far as when the, like, how do the High Dials know? And again, this is simply from listening to it yesterday, and it was just a, it was like watching a, you know, like those tea flowers that you drop in water and they just bloom. I felt like that's what the listening experience was. Like, the more I listened, the more things emerged, and
that's very poetic.
I took note of.
Lovely.
But how do you know when a song is done?
It's never done. I'm sure any artist would say that. It's you kind of just have to let go. Sometimes it's difficult. I'm learning now with experience. I try to let go at a point where I still enjoy it, and I try, because you can run it into the ground and destroy it for yourself, or over process it, or overthink it, but you know, it's hard. Like, we're not a minimalist band, right? We always want to put more. We always have another idea. There's no shortage of ideas in the band. It's always been that way, and so it's a heavy, very heavily arranged music. It's you know, it's been described like wall of sound, or we're always like squeezing. But what I like about this record is that we did that, but in a way that was like every little idea has its moment to shine, but it's not kind of like just all the time. You know, maybe when we were a little less mature, we would just kind of throw it all there and see what sticks. And now we really crafted. We got little things here and there. So that's what one thing I like about it.
All right. Well, I feel like I have to ask this question because we both have both of you in here that have been in the band for the last 16 years. Can each of you maybe just quickly sum up how the band has changed from 16 years ago, and maybe how you see it in another 16 or another 10 or just
another 16? Well, that's mental, but it could happen. Why not?
Why not?
I might be here in 16 years. Mm-hmm. You guys might still be here 16
it's,
years.
It's possible. Yeah. If I hadn't had my heart attack yet.
If the oceans haven't wiped us all out. Or,
that's right.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go first. Robbie, you want to
go ahead? Yeah.
The question was, how has it changed?
How's it changed? Like, either as an experience for you, you can get into the business if you want, or approach.
It's obviously, just think about your own life and how much changes in any person's life. And then apply that to your passion project, a band like this. And there's been so many members that have been in and out, and some back in and out again. And it's kind of like, it's kind of nice. I kind of look at it as like a big family of people that have participated and made contributions. And so I suppose in the beginning it was more of a classic band. It was, you know, four guys and friends, and that had formed it together, but then over time, because of all those changes, it's become kind of an amorphous thing where
when you're younger, I mean, we used to just get in the van and go. I remember, like, I think it's 2005 or something, we played like, I don't know, like 150 shows. Like, we'd just go right around North America, get home, stay home for a month or so, and then do it again, you know, like, and you can't do that as you get older. I mean, we were able to, I don't know. Yeah. There was a lot of like sleeping on couches and stuff like that. Things you can't, you know.
Well, that connects with what I was saying in the sense that it was really like a gang of people that, you know, we used to like just be jamming all the time too, just rehearsing all the time. And the song, by the time, and also you have to remember, like 16 years ago, recording was very different too. It was really hard to get in the studio at that time. Or it was a very expensive thing. And so that influenced the way that we made the music and the way that the band operated. And now it's, everybody can you can work on it in pieces. Although we did that stuff too in the early records. So I don't know, it's always been fun. I've enjoyed every record, and I've enjoyed making music with everybody that's been in the band. And I think I enjoy it most now in the sense of that freedom, that creative freedom. I would have dreamed of having the kind of freedom and ability to record music that I enjoy now.
Right.
But I do miss those days of traveling around North America nonstop and just gigging, you know, like it's true.
Better to have those memories than to, you know, yearn for them or...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, we still tour a little bit, but you got to be... it's hard, you know, for so many reasons.
Yeah. And last question, and it's kind of a follow-up to the one we just asked. As far as Montreal itself as a music scene, have you seen any, like, significant changes in the time that you guys were, you know, young men piling into your van? Like, I'm under the impression, having had roommates and stuff that played in bands in the past, that it was kind of a hustle at one point in the city to be able to play in clubs. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like in the early days for us, we didn't focus very much on Montreal at all. We didn't play. We'd play here once or twice a year, but I mean, like I just mentioned, 2005, I think we played Seattle probably twice as often as we played Montreal. You know?
For some reason, there were people that key... helpers or people that kind of took us under their wing, and they were always from very far away, and I always felt like a sore thumb in the city. Like I never felt like we tried to create our own scene, and we used to throw these big all-nighter parties, and we would invite these bands from all these different places, and we did that. I'm talking about the Datsuns, you know, when the earliest incarnation of the band. And but it's true. But as far as so I've always felt, but Montreal's my home, you know, and it's been a huge influence on all of us. And I think the scene is really healthy right now, actually. I think it's kind of thriving right now. Everybody in the band is very involved in different ways, not just making music, but behind the scenes, promoting and producing shows. And
DJing.
We're all very much deep in the scene in that sense. And there's great bands and... Yeah, I would say in a way this is kind of like a great time in Montreal music right now. It's also, like you said, it used to be when we started very hard to get shows. It's not as hard anymore. There's still some good venues when you compare other cities. Like we were just in the UK. The UK is having a hard time with live music right now. We had a hard time, like many, many people told me when we were over there that it wasn't doing that great. For the small bands, I'm talking about the little pubs and things. And Montreal still has that, so I think that's great.
Guys, unfortunately, we have to wrap it up because we've got just a minute until
the next band comes in.
Yeah, the next band comes in. But we sincerely thank you. We really appreciate the effort trekking it across with equipment, setting up, showing up early. Want to thank Max setting this up and Charles for his technical input over the course of the exchange. Thank you very much. Door's always open. If you guys want to come on, you don't have to be peddling anything. Just come in with some music.
So
we'll
I
DJ.
Could just stay the night tonight?
Absolutely.
Because I brought my sleeping bag and everything.
It's cool. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
No, thank you very much, guys. It was really a pleasure.
Thanks
and,
so much. Yeah.
Very fun to perform that way live on the spot. It's great.
And folks, head out to Lesco Griff next Thursday for 6. Arrive before 6. Have a drink and get settled before the show. But be sure to check out the High Dials next week. And thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week. 5 seconds. Goodbye.